Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. This is the 750th Frontlines of Freedom show. And for the record, next month will be 15 years old as a show. We have a really good show, but one of the reasons it's so good is that we have a couple of really good editors, Michael and Tom, who pull most of the awkward or dumb things that we've said during the interviews. We'll be playing several of these for your entertainment during the show. Enjoy. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. One of the most popular shows in the community is the Flowerland Show, and it's obvious about plants and flowers. And Skip, you've been a guest on that show recently. Does it have anything to do with your love of mushrooms?
Colonel, there is a fungus among us, and I are he. I have this great love for, you know, morel mushrooms. So, you know, the last couple of years, Rick Weiss has had me on his Flowerland Garden Show, and we just have a good time. You know, you'd think, can you have a good time talking about fungus? But you really can if you get the right two people in the room.
Well, Rick is a character, and you do qualify in that category too, so I believe it.
It was a good time, Colonel.
Good. But here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the situation in Ukraine. Then I'll discuss religious freedom in our nation. Next, Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then West Point graduate John Hughes will discuss the honor challenges at West Point. It's not good. Then Marine vet Joe Greeter will join us to discuss the Montford Point Marines. This was our first Marine Corps all-black unit. And we'll talk coffee with Army Officer Lawton Wilson, who owns Freedom One Coffee.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we'll start with the news, of course. What's first, Skip?
Late last month, Russian President Putin said, quote, in this regard, I would like to emphasize again all the goals of the special military operation launched on February 24 will definitely be attained in order to guarantee peace and security for the residents of the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics of Russian Crimea and our entire country in a historical perspective, unquote. Okay, the original objectives stated by Putin shortly after the invasion of Ukraine were, one, remove the Nazis and drug addicts ruling Ukraine and denazify the whole place. Two, disband the Ukraine armed forces. Three, prevent Ukraine from joining NATO. Four, prevent foreign troops or weapons from being stationed in Ukraine. Five, Ukrainian recognition of the independence of the fake republics of Donetsk and Luhansk. And six, Ukrainian recognition of the annexation of Crimea. His recent actions indicate that he knows that the Kiev government is not going away, nor are the Ukrainian armed forces. He seems to be attempting to carve away Ukraine's coastline, linking Russia by road and rail to Crimea and annex that territory. He probably thinks that this will let him say he's rid the areas with large Russian populations of the Nazis who were repressing them, and the rest of Ukraine can just go to hell. But he said, if anyone intends to intervene from the outside and create a strategic threat to Russia that is unacceptable, they should know that our retaliatory strikes will be lightning fast. We have the tools we need for this, the likes of which no one else can claim at this point. We will not just brag, we will use them if necessary. And I want everyone to know this. We have made all the decisions on this matter.
This sounds like political BS. Western weapons and equipment and volunteers are pouring into Ukraine at an unprecedented rate. The weapons are not merely equal to anything Russia has, they're qualitatively superior. Thus far, Russia has taken no steps to attack weapons shipments inside Ukraine. In fact, there's only been one strike against a rail line outside of the immediate area of operations, and this strike took place during the Austin Blinken visit. They traveled by rail from Poland to Kyiv. I think that if Russians were willing or able to strike or disrupt arms shipment, they would have done so by now. Putin is full of BS.
Customs and Border Protection officials and Department of Homeland Security staffers ripped DHS Secretary Mayorkas' immigration plan as unserious and ill-equipped to handle the unprecedented surge of migrants on the border. Mayorkas released a 20-page report titled DHS Plan for Southwest Border Security and Preparedness, the night before he testified in front of Congress on the Biden administration's handling of the border crisis. The report outlines six initiatives the agency is taking to stem the increase in migration being experienced by the United States and prioritizes migrant processing over border security. But those with decades of experience working in immigration expressed skepticism at or outright mocked the plan. Their reactions demonstrate how Mayorkas has lost the faith of career personnel. Quote, the plan looks like an absolute load of baloney, said one senior DHS staffer. Quote, Mayorkas is filled with excuses and his solution is to let them in. If you look at the plan, there is an inordinate amount of focus on processing vulnerable migrants compared to the lip service of securing the border. This administration has always been set to release as many migrants as possible and then make excuses as to why illegal aliens continue invading our country, unquote.
You know, Skip, I bet he didn't say bull-loney.
I think you're right, Colonel.
A study from the Federation for American Immigration Reform assesses that the number of illegals jumped from 14.5 million in 2020 to 15.5 million. The analysis found that the increased numbers cost our taxpayers at least $143.1 billion, marking a $9.4 billion increase from 2020. And troops, do remember that our nation is broke. Our budget's blown. The report points to the narrowed interior enforcement, the ending of the migration protection protocols, ending of border wall construction, and promising amnesty for illegal immigrants already in the country as a part of the immigration reform proposal. Our government is doing nothing to enforce the laws of our nation and is blowing billions of dollars while doing nothing.
The commanding officer of the aircraft carrier USS George Washington told his crew recently that the Navy will begin to move sailors off of the ship following a string of suicides and complaints from service members about conditions aboard the ship, whose projected departure from the shipyards has been pushed back once again. Captain Gout announced that the ship will move 260 sailors to an offsite barracks-type living arrangement on Norfolk Naval Shipyard in Portsmouth. Quote, we'll be able to expand that number at about 50 additional beds per week as we figure out exactly what is needed, Gout continued. A Navy spokesman added that the moves will continue until all sailors who wish to move off ship have done so. The moves comes at the end of a month that saw three sailors aboard the ship die via suicide. There have been at least five suicides by sailors assigned to the ship in the last 10 months and eight in total since November 2019. It also follows an April 22nd visit to the ship by the Navy's top enlisted official, Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy, Russell Smith, in which the crew was told the service is largely powerless to improve conditions. Smith told a sailor who had asked about living conditions that the Navy probably could have done better to manage your expectations coming in here, before informing the crew that raising concerns should be done, quote, with reasonable expectations and then understanding what this is like. What you're not doing is sleeping in a foxhole like a Marine might be doing, he added.
Wow. Sailors said that 24-hour construction noise, no electricity or hot water, and a lack of help from leadership made things unbearable aboard that ship. Mercy me. This is clearly a leadership problem. First, the crew is clearly not ready for combat. Second, I absolutely don't believe the leadership couldn't get an electric generator for use while the ship was undergoing upgrading. If this is typical of our Navy, we're in really bad shape. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. God bless our editors. We do make some dumb comments when we're doing the show each week, and we have two great editors who monitor us and delete the bigger goofs. As a part of our celebration of our 750th show, I thought I'd share some of our outtakes with you. At East Troops, take a break. By golly, we got through that one.
I wanted so much to say something after the Navy. It was our terrible living conditions.
My heart bled for them when I read
that. I know. It's sometimes you just need to let the officers use their tact
and their superior intellect.
And
you don't know what to say to that. I totally blindsided you with a compliment. Don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
I don't have a clue, and it's not in my inbox.
Really? In my mind, I mailed it to you.
And in my mind, I received it, but unfortunately.
Hold on a second here. Let's try this again for the first time.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Dr. John Hughes about West Point. At ease, troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Our newest sponsor, FreedomOneCoffee.com, is offering you 15% off your first purchase with the promo code FREEDOM. I urge you to check out this online coffee company today. Not only do they roast your coffee fresh, but they also have the best-looking coffee packaging I've ever seen, all of which was designed by a proud Marine veteran. Their website is easy to use, and they have options you cannot find anywhere else, including bourbon and Cabernet barrel-aged coffees at FreedomOneCoffee.com. This coffee is for the hardworking, freedom-loving American like you. The company is owned by a hardworking Army officer and his wife. Their coffee is flying off the shelves everywhere they retail it. So again, I urge you to visit FreedomOneCoffee.com and enter the promo code FREEDOM at checkout for 15% off this amazing product owned by an amazing soldier. Freedom, the number one, coffee.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correll with your home defense tip of the week. One item you should keep in your bedroom at all times is a military-grade high-lumen flashlight. I've raised four teenagers, and I've learned that just because someone's sneaking in your window at 2 a.m. doesn't mean you want to shoot them. That bright flashlight will immediately blind the invader and readily identify whether they are friend or foe. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers, and it's good. I eat it. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com and use the promo code FREEDOM. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. I've got a couple of things to discuss today. First, Ukraine. As the war in Ukraine stretches into its third month, we have to note that there have been many surprising developments. The fact that Ukraine still is fielding its armed forces and successfully resisting, that's a victory in itself. The massive amounts of aid and weapons flowing into the country have been a huge factor in Ukraine being able to hold out. Another form of Western aid that's been critical in Ukraine's defense, but has gone largely unreported, is the sharing of intelligence. We have satellite surveillance covering the country, and it's a not-so-well-kept secret that we're providing intel on Russian troop movements and asset locations. There's speculation that this intel played a role in the sinking of the Russian flagship Moskva last month. Ukraine claims that it destroyed the ship with an R-360 Neptune anti-ship missiles. Russia denies this and says the ship was destroyed by an onboard fire. Whichever way you lean, and I tend to think the missiles are more likely during a wartime than a random fire, the story doesn't end there. You see, the Russians have a number of ships trying to recover the sunken Moskva. There are all sorts of questions that arise about the possibility of nuclear weapons on the Moskva. The most obvious question there would be why? If Russia's considering using tactical nukes in the conflict, It would make sense to use one that is ship-based. You know, if Russia were suddenly to launch an ICBM or a missile from a submarine, that might result in a miscalculation from the West, whereas a ship-based missile is much closer range. Another possibility is that Russia just felt that the ship had effective countermeasures and that Ukraine did not have the capability to pose a credible threat to the ship. Either way, if there was a nuclear weapon on ship, this is a startling escalation. Another, more benign explanation does exist. There are reports that the True Cross was aboard. The True Cross is a Christian relic that is allegedly a splinter from the cross that Jesus was crucified on. It would make sense that Russia would try to recover it rather than see an irreplaceable relic lost at sea, but why was it on the board? Whatever happens, let us hope that the war in Ukraine ends quickly, and when that happens, we may be able to learn exactly what happened with the Moskova. Now, it's clear but outrageous that our president is seeking to eliminate religious freedom protections put in place by President Trump. We know what he's doing to our military personnel. Well, he's also ordering the elimination of objections healthcare workers are allowed to make based on their conscience and personal beliefs. In 2018, the Trump Department of Health and Human Services announced the protections for doctors, nurses, medical students, and teachers, pharmacists, and religious charities. In 2019, the department's Office for Civil Rights was put in place, and they put a rule that protects healthcare workers from being forced to participate in objectionable procedures. Workers were allowed to object to being personally involved in a number of medical procedures, including abortion, assisted suicide, gender modification, and sterilization. Litigation brought by progressive activists led to the rule being blocked by federal courts. The Biden administration is now moving to completely scrap the rule. Leftist abortion advocacy groups like Planned Parenthood are supporting the move. The move to end the protections comes partly in response to Republican-led states' actions to restrict abortions and gender reassignment procedures for children. The Alliance Defending Freedom and other religious freedom advocacy groups are arguing that the prospective rule change will cause direct harm to patients and healthcare professionals around the country. Senior Counsel Matt Bauman with the Alliance issued a statement saying that no American should be compelled to act in violation of their religious or ethical beliefs. He noted that the proposed rule change will force healthcare workers to choose between acting against their beliefs or losing their jobs. He added that the change is an illegal and gross overreach of executive power. Biden has directed Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra to eliminate the department's Conscious and Religious Freedom Division. That office was created at the direction of President Trump to actively protect workers with religious objections. Becerra has since eliminated all references to religion, conscience, and the Conscious and Religious Freedom Division from the department's budget. Becerra has also ordered the dismissal of a case against a facility that compelled a nurse to participate in an abortion despite her stated religious objections. And of course, our military members are being denied the right to refuse the COVID shot for religious reasons. The brave men and women who volunteered to protect our nation with their lives are being punished judicially, denied promotion, denied the opportunity to reenlist, and other punishments, all this if they refuse the shot for religious reasons. It appears there's a war in our nation against the constitutional right of religious freedom. And we veterans took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. And now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, 3 weeks ago, the retired Navy destroyer, the USS Sullivans, began sinking at the Buffalo and Erie County Military and Naval Park. My good friend, U.S. Coast Guard Commander John Parsons, invited me to visit the site and show me what he was working on as the recovery crews were pumping water out of the ship and trying to get her refloated. Commander Parsons' most recent job was the deputy director of the new Coast Guard Museum, and he was brought in to help with artifact collection, management, and preservation. He told me 3 weeks ago the ship was listing more than 30 degrees and the stern had settled on the bottom of the Buffalo River. The day I visited, they had pumped out enough water and patched more than 30 holes that the ship was only listing about 15 degrees, and things were looking positive that the ship would be completely refloated. In fact, the museum is saying they may be able to reopen the ship for tours by Memorial Day weekend. The USS Sullivans is named in honor of the five Sullivan brothers who were killed in action when the USS Junou was sunk by the Japanese in the South Pacific during World War II. Although it was Navy policy to separate brothers, they enlisted in 1942 with the provision that they had to stay together. The Navy said that the loss of the five brothers ranked as the heaviest blow suffered by any single family since Pearl Harbor and maybe in all of American naval history. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I hope you realize we like to present you a very professional show. Well, as we celebrate our 750th show, I thought I'd share with you some of the goofs we said and fortunately found and eliminated before the show hit the satellite. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel, your latest novel is out now. It's even on Amazon now, isn't it, Skip?
Yeah, that's right, Colonel. It just came out this weekend. It's called... Oh, crap.
now, that's an interesting name.
I think that one just made the bloopers. I can't remember the name of my own novel.
Well, here's what we're going to talk about. Come on, mouth. Earth the Gillum. No response.
On 25 April 1945, during World War II, 8 Russian armies completely encircled Berlin. Didn't you just read that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I guess we'll just call that a brain fart and just leave it at that. Damn mashed potatoes and moths, I tell you.
Straight ahead on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll discuss the West Point Honor System with Dr. John Hughes. Then we'll talk with Joe Geeter about the Montford Point Marines. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break and do another 30, then stand at ease. My fellow patriots, in these troubling times, it is more important than ever for us to take care of our fellow Americans. That's what Patriot Food stands for, U.S.-only grown foods. When you make an online purchase, you are supporting a U.S. farmer and our great veterans every time. Don't mistake Patriot Foods for survival food. This is an American farmer brand. Visit patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today. That's patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show a fellow West Pointer, John Hughes, MD. John, like his father, served in our Army and now practices medicine. Like many West Point grads, he's very upset with the way our alma mater has been lowering standards in many areas, including the honor code. And John wrote a letter to the superintendent and published the letter. I read this letter and agreed with all that he said, so I invited him and he's joining us today. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Denny.
John, start by telling us about your time in the military. Obviously, you went to West Point, probably because your dad did. Where did you serve? What branches? What'd you do?
I was a military brat. I grew up on Army bases my entire life. My father was a West Point graduate, a career Army officer. He was an infantryman, and then he became a doctor. And my two grandparents were also in the military as well. One a West Point graduate and a World War II bomber pilot. And the other one was a VMI graduate. And he was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division in World War II. So it was kind of a natural progression for me to look at going to West Point. During my time there, I really enjoyed myself. I was a little bit of an introvert, kind of a nerd. That kind of lends to how I ended up where I did in my class. But I really was inspired during my time up there. I would go out and do a lot of runs. I would go hang out on the plane and see a lot of the monuments out there. And it was really an inspiration to me that I was a part of something very much bigger than myself.
Well, that makes sense to me. I felt very much the same way. I don't know that I was as maybe not as introverty as you were, but I was overwhelmed by West Point and I wanted to learn everything I could about it. So I understand.
And my father was a physician, but going to West Point or not, I'm surrounded by a bunch of monuments to the doctors who graduated from West Point. Nothing against them, but I wanted to do something else a little more interesting. So on branch night, I panicked the entire infantry branch when I went up first because I was number one in my class and said I branched infantry. So all the guys who wanted to go to Vincenza came and ran over to my room and they said, "You're going to Bragg, right?" "Yeah, I'm going to Bragg, guys. You guys are just fine."
And Bragg is Fort Bragg, where the 82nd Airborne was located, right?
Correct. For a few reasons, I wanted to begin my career. My dad began there, actually. My grandfather, as I said, was in the 82nd Airborne Division. He made two of the four big jumps with a division during the war. And also in the mid-1990s, I wanted to go do something interesting in the world. And so at that time, the 82nd Airborne Division was the tip of the spear. And so there was no war on terror yet. And so if you wanted to experience anything overseas, that was definitely the place to go. And I was not disappointed. Within a year of being there, I found myself as a peacekeeper in Haiti.
Yeah, they always found some place to send you guys. And that was, I'm familiar with that very much. Yes.
And the funny part, I guess, was that Haiti is an interesting place. Yes, it had beaches there, but the sand was all I got to see on the inland portion of it there. Unfortunately, through all my other deployments and government funded vacations, same thing, saw a lot of sand, but not a lot of beach and the ocean.
You know, that's tough, but war is hell, right?
Oh, yes. Because I ultimately wanted to go to medical school, I had applied to USHU's, which is the U.S. Government's medical school in Bethesda, Maryland. They're Army, Navy, Air Force, and I actually had secured a spot. I mean, I took a little bit of risk because I took a delay in the matriculation there. They offered me 2 years to go play infantry. And so I did. I went to Airborne School, Ranger School. I deployed with the 82nd Airborne Division. I was a platoon leader. And then after all that, I made true to my destiny, I guess you could say, and I went to medical school.
Okay. Sounds like a family tradition, right?
Oh, yes. So when I was in medical school, it was kind of an interesting experience. I guess you could say I kind of did everything in reverse, maturing. The first couple of years were fun as a West Pointer going to medical school with a bunch of individuals who didn't play sports for the most part, played rugby, had a great time there. But then about midway through, I began to get serious about what I was going to do with medicine in my life. And as a military physician, it was a natural thing as well to become an ER doctor, kind of like if you want to go into the combat arms, you're an infantryman. It was a no-brainer. If you want to do what the Army's all about, you want to be in the infantry. That's where you truly lead troops into battle. So in the military realm, if and when a war was to break out, because bear in mind, the war on terror had not begun yet. Actually, it happened my last year there. I wanted to be an ER doctor. It seemed the most interesting, but also the most relevant to what I wanted to do in the military.
Well, you were in a good spot. You'd paid the price. You'd earned the position by graduating the top of your class, and you got a chance to do both the things you wanted to do in life, right? I mean, the military life, infantry and MD. Sounds like you had a good plan, John.
Yes. And so I graduated USHU's in 2002, just as the war in Afghanistan was just beginning. And to be honest, I was really chomping at the bit to get involved in the war. And in fact, after my internship, I came very close to withdrawing from the internship, or at least not going into the residency, so I could join a unit to be a GMO and deploy to war. And I had a lot of mentors, actually my next door neighbor, who's also a West Pointer, and he did something I did as well, although he didn't have a spot in medical school picked out for him, but he was in the infantry for about 10 years. He was a company commander. He did a few other interesting things. And he said, "Hey, this is the long war. Don't worry about it. There's going to be plenty of time for you to do great things for your country overseas." So I heeded his wisdom. And I finished residency. And then when I was done, it was time to find a place, because at that point I had married somebody from the Air Force. And so anybody who you know who's got a joint household, Army, Navy, Navy, Air Force, whatever, it becomes a little bit difficult to be stationed in the same place. So I ended up going to Fort Carson, Colorado. They had a brigade going to Iraq, and so I volunteered there. Nobody else, of course, wanted it. Spent a year there. And then while I was there, met a gentleman who was a physician who knew special operations, and he got me into special forces. So I ended up going back to Fort Bragg, this time as a battalion doctor with the special forces, and I deployed multiple times to Afghanistan.
So with that, I presume that's what you were doing when you decided to step out of the military?
Just about. So my last deployment with the special forces was a few years ago, and then I came back here to Fort Sam Houston, Texas. That's where I'd done my residency training as an ER doctor, and it was getting increasingly difficult to be stationed with my wife, and that same friend who would advise me to stay in the military was in charge of the ER here, and he was able to get me back here into a position of a leadership. His West Pointers are kind of in that realm for command and leadership, so he wanted me to come here and to follow in his footsteps. And so while I was here, I deployed one more time, this time with the British Field Hospital to Western Afghanistan. And that's when I began to get a little bit disillusionment with the war, the same place, the same battles, same provinces. It was like echoes of a prior war. And at that point, I've got a special needs. I'm a family. We get tired of moving around. So I got out of the military in 15.
And you have been practicing medicine ever since, right?
Yes, I got out and I'm an ER doctor in San Antonio, Texas now.
There's more to discuss about our alma mater and the challenges there. And John's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. As a part of our celebration of our 750th show, here's some more behind-the-scenes audio from Front Lines of Freedom.
Do I address you as Denny?
Yes. I've been called a lot of things. That's one of the nicer things. I tell people I'm Denny when I'm, if you like me, I'm Dennis if I'm in trouble. And I'm Dennis James if I'm in big trouble. That's how my mom raised me.
Are you a fisherman?
Not much of one. A bit of one, but not much.
You sounded like a fisherman. All right.
I hope that's a compliment.
It is. For me, it is.
I'm waiting to pounce. I was going to get you this week.
I was going to say,
you forgot to press the right button, but you didn't.
I'm so proud of me, I can barely stand.
I'm starting to feel useless.
Well, but you're a Marine, so it's okay. I mean, I'll get you a crayon and everything will be fine.
I'm out of a job. There's no bad guys left to kill.
Actually, there are, but we're not supposed to kill them.
Oh, okay.
Michael, delete everything that was said before. It's all Skip's fault. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break to stay in the area. We'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Front Lines of Freedom promo code.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues concerned Veterans for America is confronting head on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. John Hughes. We're about to get to the deterioration of standards at our alma mater, West Point. John, there are some serious problems there, and I know from other friends that the other service academies are having these problems too, but let's not talk about those. Let's talk about West Point. I got upset with West Point. I sort of had some funny feelings, but frankly, when Colin Kaepernick went to work for Nike, and he stood for everything America doesn't stand for, and West Point kept wearing Nike clothes and selling Nike clothes, I stopped contributions and all that kind of stuff. That set me off. But there were lots of things going on before that that I didn't see or didn't notice, whatever. Talk to us about what happened. How did you suddenly get upset?
Well, I had kind of an indirect route, to be honest. I was beginning to feel my activist voice, if you will, about 6 months ago. I have a friend of mine who's been doing this for quite some time. He's very patriotic. He's my West Point classmate, and he's had a lot of concerns. And so when I was beginning to practice my voice, it was actually for medicine and censorship within medicine and what was happening within COVID. I was extremely concerned because COVID was winding down. All the mandates, as you can see, are going away. But the medical community is ramping up its war against doctors who wish to speak out. And that was gravely concerning to me. However, in the background of all this, even though I tried not to look at what was going on at West Point and the Army at large, I could not escape it. When I was deployed in 2013, I heard about the superintendent who had not one, but two IG investigations against him. I just kind of put it out of mind, but that kind of tainted my view of West Point a little bit at that point. As I've told others, that the superintendent in my mind should have the ethical demeanor second only to Jesus. Because when you think about what he or she is tasked to do up there, they're the moral embodiment of everything a cadet is supposed to be. And the whole reason for West Point is to have the ethical core for the Army. So if the superintendent has not one but two IG investigations and he was able to get out of the first one, I believe it was a sexual harassment allegation as soon as he had gotten there, I have grave concerns about my school.
Well, that's logical. And certainly if the leadership, the leader is at question, that's a problem. And he wasn't the only one, was he?
He was not. And actually, the other one was incidental. I was actually looking up when I was writing my letter and I discovered the other one. Now, the other one is interesting because I've actually, after I published my letter, truth be told, I have met some old graduates who actually know General Caslin, and they speak very highly of him. But, and I was very careful when I wrote these letters that I'm not doing any personal attacks on anybody. I'm not like the left that goes below the belt with their attacks. I only look at what folks do when they're in the office at the time. Now, he was out of the office, but at the same token, when you read his graduation speech, it was word for word Admiral Mick Raven's graduation speech that was given a few years beforehand, word for word. And there's nobody's memories that good. And so it was a mistake. It doesn't make him an evil man, no, but he should know better because as other classmates and other West Pointers said, if a plebe had done that, they'd be facing the honor board.
Huh. What other things have you seen? To me, the big thing is honor. And I sense that that's the big thing with you too. There's a lot of other things, but that's the big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the honor code, when that scandal went down in 2020, I had a lot of things going on in my life, but it was just one more of those things saying, here we go again, more decline at the military academy, just like we're seeing all across America. At the time, COVID had just hit and I was up to my eyeballs in work and the ERs, there wasn't a heck of a lot I could do about it at that time. But the straw that broke the camel's back was the cocaine issue. For the last couple of years, I've been working in ERs where I have a lot of drug addicts, and a lot of consequences of the drug trade. I even adopted two kids who are casualties of the methamphetamine trade. So drugs are very near and dear to my heart. And it generated a lot of emotion with me, but I was also shocked that something like this could happen at West Point. It wasn't just that the scandal happened because the admissions office at West Point, at least in the past, I mean, they can do a good job to screen out folks, but they're never perfect because if they were perfect, we would have no need for the honor code nor the regulations up for the Corps of Cadets. However, when you look at how many things have been happening and the gravity of what's going on. And then what also made me even more angry was the investigative work of the New York Post the week after I published my letter, where the New York Post discussed the culture at West Point with cocaine that went back at least to 2016, when they had half a dozen cadets court-martialed for drug dealing. And it was clear, because of what I know about drugs, that this has been a long-standing issue up there.
Wow. That shocks me. I can't even imagine. Maybe I was a naive cadet while I was there, but I can't even imagine somebody illegally using drugs, much less selling illegal drugs as a cadet, or frankly, as an officer, but particularly not as a cadet. But it was going on, wasn't it?
Oh, indeed. So I guess the very last thing that caused me to write the letter, though, was the superintendent's letter, because of how disingenuous it was. And it struck a very arrogant tone that, and I get it, West Point, just like the military and most major organizations, don't like to air their dirty laundry in front of the world. However, it was apparent that this was not new. And it was also apparent that not a lot was going to be done about it. I like to pontificate a lot to a lot of people about a lot of my thoughts over the years. One of them is that when you're a leader, you're in charge, like the Disney movie Bug's Life. When you're in charge, everything is your fault. And so you have a commandant up there for an entire year with this culture. In the regular Army, if you were a battalion commander, brigade commander, and you had a long-standing drug issue and another high-profile event happen, you'd be summoned to the general's office and you would be relieved. So I was shocked that the same thing was not happening at West Point.
I certainly understand that. So you sent that letter and you just brought out the points that we've just discussed. What has been the response?
So the response, Danny, was not at all what I expected. I'd written a few anonymous letters before, but in this one here, I got a huge response and it brought hope. The reason why it brought hope was I got invitations to a bunch of like-minded organizations that I had no idea existed. As an ER doctor, I swim within a sea of liberals. And I had no idea there were this many conservative Americans who love America out there who want to see things changed, and they don't like the direction the country's going, Marxism and other things. And I got emails, I got phone calls, cold calls from graduates from several decades. And it was just refreshing to me that there is hope.
Well, certainly if we graduates don't stand up to try to get our alma mater changed, nobody else will. And unfortunately, if this is happening at West Point, it's happening in the Army and in society. And I guess we as Americans need to take a look at this point and realize that if we don't make the change, who will? So if it's not you, then who? If not now, then when? John, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for helping lead the charge and getting our alma mater back as a school of high standards, and especially in the area of honor. I can't thank you enough, brother.
And thank you, Jenny, for what you do. We need to win America back.
We do. And again, if it's not us, then who? And if not now, then when? This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Marine Master Gunnery Sergeant Joe Geeter about the Montford Point Marines, the first African-American Marine unit. Then we'll talk great coffee with Lawton Wilson from Freedom One Coffee. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain, and I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creations if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com and save 20%. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud to be an American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
That be it. Don't include that. Thanks, boys.